Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio. Every week, Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller interviews CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Now, your host, Jason Miller.
My guest today is Christina Handley, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission's Chief Information Officer. Christina, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me, Jason.
I've had the FERC CIO on my show several times over the year. Your predecessor, Sanjay Sadar, was always a good friend of the show, so it's nice to have you join us for your first time. Now, you've been the FERC CIO since November. Discuss your background a bit, and how has the transition been coming to FERC from the Millennial Challenge Corporation?
My background is fundamentally management and business systems modernization. So that management includes your program management evaluation, performance measures, data analytics, a lot of strategic human capital, budget, and policy development, combined with the business systems modernization in terms of IT project management, business case analysis, and portfolio management. The transition from the CIO at Millennium Challenge Corporation to the CIO at FERC has been a very pleasant one. The FERC team's highly collaborative and very open to leveraging information and communication technologies in its mission.
So it's interesting that you make a transition from a grant-making agency really to a, if you will, a regulatory agency. Has it been a big transition or something that you kind of felt like your past experiences made it fairly smooth?
No, I think my past experiences with the 12 years at the Department of Treasury made it very smooth. And so the job is the same. The mission, the organization is just a little bit larger. So it's a very, very smooth transition.
It's interesting. A lot of times when I talk to CIOs, they'll say, well, being a CIO is really being a CIO. You still deal with the same challenges, whether it's cyber or mission areas or whatever the issues are. They transfer the easiest because each organization has the same sets of challenges, whether one area may be more focused on cyber than the other, or one area may be more focused on a certain type of network versus another. But in the end, you're still doing the same thing. I imagine that's the quote-unquote easy part of being the CIO and changing jobs.
I'd say that assessment is pretty accurate. You deal with a lot of the same issues. One thing I like about FERC is its size. Some of the smaller agencies, we can move more quickly and implement positive change more quickly than some of the larger CFO Act agencies, and that's one aspect that I really enjoy, that the IT team can deliver on results more quickly than some of the federal larger agencies. But we still have the same cybersecurity, planning and governance issues across all agencies.
And I know we'll probably talk about that type of delivery later on in the program, so we'll not jump into that stream yet. Coming to FERC, I always find it interesting when you talk to people who moved jobs, how they ended up where they ended up. One of my favorite stories is about somebody who was working at the CIO at the FAA, and they were a pilot, and they kind of merged their two loves, you know, flying and technology. So how did you end up coming to FERC? Did you just, you know, apply for the job and got it, or was there some kind of background that you had that says, I want to work at FERC one day?
No, I actually applied for the job and got it. FERC had a great mission, great leadership. It's one of the best places to work in government. And so during my research on FERC and through the interview process, I realized that I can make a contribution. As I mentioned earlier, I like the size of the organization. We can deliver on results more quickly.
I think that's good. You know, so many times you hear about jobs in government and people applying. I never hear anything. So here's a good example of someone who applied and heard back and got a job. So that's obviously good news there. You talked a little bit about your past experiences, 12 years at Treasury. Can you talk a little bit more about what you did and maybe where else did you work inside or out of government?
12 years at Treasury. I was a program manager for a large terrorism and financial intelligence enterprise content management solution. I was a program manager for the Office of Financial Stability, TARP, all their business data, business intelligence and data solutions. Did a lot of the HR lines of business modernization back when all the federal agencies were consolidating down to 5 HR lines of business. And then I was with the IRS for 4 years, doing all their business systems modernization when they're reorganizing. So those are my 12 years at Treasury, which has been a fantastic experience. I'm a very proud public servant. And then I went on to become a deputy CIO at the National Labor Relations Board, the CIO at Millennium Challenge Corporation and then came here to FERC. Prior to that, I was an Air Force officer, manpower career, for about 9 years. So I've had a great, great experience in public service in the federal government.
And it's interesting, coming from the Air Force, you've had the mix of large and small agencies. Do you get a sense which one you like better? I mean, Treasury, you worked on some huge projects. Just when you said IRS and business systems modernization, I got the little chills knowing the challenges with that organization and the challenges of that job. Do you get a sense of, do you like the small agency or the large agency better, different? Do you have a preference?
I like them both. I think larger agencies, it takes more time, more collaboration to get all the buy-in, sometimes the decisions. They have their different sets of challenges. You can move more quickly in some of the smaller agencies, but I'm just as inspired by some of the larger agencies and more appreciative of, you know, how much more difficult and how much more time things take. It's so I appreciate them both. They both have their challenges and their opportunities. No preference either way. I'm flexible in both. I just have found that I gravitate towards the smaller agencies.
Well, that's good because, you know, as you said, you got to go someplace where you feel like you can make maybe a difference in a different way. As you said, you move more quickly. Let's talk about your role at FERC a little bit. Discuss the makeup of your office. How many federal employees do you have working in the IT area? How many contractors? What's your IT budget for 2016?
My office has 40 federal employees and 115 contractors and growing. The 2016 budget is $29 million, but we are increasing in our FY17, and we asked for additional funds in FY18. We have a new IT support services contractor. This is their first year, so we're going through some organizational maturation with the new contractor. And then we expect to, after this year, we expect to probably expedite some of our modernization efforts. Obviously, that's contingent upon, you know, congressional budget approval.
Yes, you and everybody else is contingent above the challenges of working within the budget. Interesting, your ratio is roughly 3-1 with contractors to feds. Is that a good ratio? Is that a little bit higher than you expected? Do you want to bring that ratio closer together, maybe to 2-1?
Right now, that's a comfortable ratio. As we kind of mature a little bit with the contractor, we might look at changing that ratio. But for now, it's fine. It's fine.
It's working. That's what's important, right? You're getting the jobs done. And from a IT budget, obviously the 18 request is still in process, but for the 2017 request, do you remember offhand roughly how much more you're asking for?
We are going up another $2 million in 17 and another $6 million in 18.
All right. Well, very good. It's a nice little bump up. You know, a lot of people, when it comes to IT, their expectations are to cut. And you're always kind of are facing that the challenge of, well, if you cut, you can't really modernize. And you know the drill, I'm sure, very well, all the challenges that go with it. Let's talk about some older priorities for a little bit. As I said, it's been almost 3 years since the former Federal Energy Regulatory Commission CIO was on my show. And at the time, he was talking about mobility and how it was going to play a larger role across government, across your agency specifically, and to give employees more tools. Can you give me an update on that mobility initiative and what kind of benefits are you seeing?
So mobility is fully operational, and benefits are it does indeed empower the agency and its employees with access to information anytime and from anywhere. We have a very robust telework program, so that includes all the supporting technology, a VPN solution, the BYOD policy, and a mobile device management tool, which provides protection on the endpoints data through the containerization. But the productivity boon in staff presence is remarkable. So our mission is to assist consumers in obtaining reliable, efficient, and sustainable energy services at a reasonable cost, and we regulate the market and regulate and look at the market means. And so the benefit of the mobility, it's simply unfettered but secure pathways for employees to do their work.
It's interesting that you're talking about a BYOD policy. Is that something that's an option for employees or something that everyone is doing? Because I hear a lot of agencies look at BYOD and they struggle to implement it. Can you talk a little bit more about that policy?
I know. We simply allow if an individual wants to use their own personal device, whether it's their own computer, they can come in through, you know what we have. We have a Citrix solution or their own mobile device. We can use the MDM solution wireless throughout the building. And so we allow them to use that. Now, we haven't moved on to offer them a stipend as, for example, for a means of replacing the government-furnished equipment. But that policy works very well here. It was actually the same policy at my previous organizations.
A lot of times when you talk to the smaller agencies, they're able to do BYOD in a much different way than, for instance, some of the larger agencies. And I know that stipend issue is something that everybody's kind of struggling with of how to address it. One thing about wireless across your entire agency, is there kind of the guest wireless and as well as the employee wireless, or is there one wireless network that's kind of separated off from the quote-unquote network, and the only way you get to the network is, again, you said through the VPN?
So, yes, we have both. A wireless that employees can use because of their device detections, and then we have a guest wireless when we have constituents or our public stakeholders come in that we can register them and give them a means to look at whether it's a litigation hearing and have access to the material. So we have both.
And was that something that was set up before you got there, or is that something that was you were setting up as you kind of arrived?
No, this was set up before I arrived here, so it works well. We'll probably make some improvements on display information, but right now that was thanks to my predecessor and the team here who executed. They did a very nice job.
And when you look into the future around mobility specifically, where do you see it going over the next, you know, 2, 3, 4 years? I know that may be getting to some of your priorities that we'll talk about later, but just generally speaking, what I hear from CIOs, what I hear from vendors is that is the future of computing, right? Mobility, whether it's tablets or smartphones or some kind of, you know, hybrid laptop.
In terms of like the policy-wise mobility, that it's going to support a telework program. I think that I don't foresee that changing very much. Maybe some of the tools will change. That the people will generally have a laptop. They might, you know, substitute that. We're actually looking at right now for our next implementation of our laptops if we want to have a combination of a tablet and a laptop. So apart from changing the device, I don't think that will change the fact that we're going to provide either the VPN or the Citrix and then the wireless network, both guests and for staff. I don't foresee that actually changing. Maybe whether the organization as a whole would look at more remote workers versus telework, right? Because there's a limitation when you telework on how many days you can telework versus being present in the office. But I don't foresee the technology making a huge, significant change.
And I think that is, I think you kind of put it well, that from a user's perspective, they're going to want more and more and more. So how do you give it to them? But all the technology that makes the users get access remotely probably will stay the same and get better, you know, whether it's a Citrix or another type of solution. Christina, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we can jump in a couple of other older priorities. My guest is Christina Hanley, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission's CIO. I'm your host, Jason Miller.
You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
My guest is Christina Hanley, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission's Chief Information Officer. I'm your host, Jason Miller. Now, Christina, before break, we were talking a little bit about your background and how you came to FERC, and we were catching up on some older priorities, mobility to be specific. There is another older priority that when I last talked to your CIO in 2013 was around updating legacy software and rationalizing applications. It's a big, big priority across all of government as a way to save money, but also around cybersecurity. So tell us where FERC is at with that effort. How's it going? Are you reducing costs? Are you getting better security?
We continue in these efforts. In fact, we just completed upgrading part of our legacy infrastructure, some servers, and that eliminated some of our security vulnerabilities. We're also looking at our as-is and to-be architecture to really further identify and sequence the rationalization of our applications. I expect that we will accrue benefits through consolidation or closure of some of the applications to reduce costs, but while at the same time, we want to make some capital investments in areas that support our enforcement analytics, our legal proceedings, and our administrative systems modernization.
This is looking at systems versus applications. Are you looking at this one and the same? Meaning, obviously, there are software that's running on top of the systems, and that's where that rationalization is happening?
So I think the rationalization will happen at both there, because sometimes applications, the data flows through various, and so there's reuse. So we need to kind of take a comprehensive approach of where we're going to, if we're going to rationalize the applications or eliminate it, we need to look at the data as well as the applications.
Years ago, someone said, and I thought this was great, it's all about the data. And generally speaking, that's what it comes back to. If you can make sure your apps are secure, you're really in the end securing the data on the other end. You talked about some accruing of benefits. You probably feel the same pressure as most CIOs to reduce spend somehow, to move, you know, the old O&M to DME. Is that part of this effort, is to kind of get off the legacy and move to a more modern infrastructure through this rationalization?
Yes.
And do you have kind of some plans in terms of over the next year, 2 years, 3 years to start doing that? describe a little bit about how that process could work.
One additional opportunity is we're looking at is before our Office cloud is the Microsoft Office 365, but we also in that space have a SharePoint 2013 cloud solution and on-premise. And so we're exploring additional opportunities to better leverage our intranet tools to automate some of the transactional activities that we do on administrative systems to provide support for back-end document management for some of our mission systems. And so we're looking at better ways and better opportunities to collaborate on our intranet. And what that does is it really just empowers end users and gives them a productivity boon. So that's one application that we'd like to further develop. And then that might help us streamline some one-off software applications.
I think that's a great example because sometimes things grow up in such a way where you have this Office 365 cloud, and then but also you put the SharePoint in the cloud. And what I've heard, at least, is that Office 365, just as this example, and I'm sure others are similar, is offering SharePoint already. So you're kind of paying twice, if you will, and really you only need to pay once.
Correct. And so and what we also kind of look at is like, so secure file transfer is a big item for us. That is with most agencies. So if we want to securely file documents, whether it's to an IG or an external constituent with whom we have a relationship. So that's just a great example of way, you know, why not the ADFS capability in there, leverage it to do secure file transfer in cloud and, you know, set it up. We're already paying for it rather than buy some, you know, standoff solution or introduce a new technology. So it's just really we're trying to optimize some of the tools that we have currently and then to really get the maximum benefit for the federal taxpayer.
And that's the goal, right? I mean, make sure FERC can do its mission, do it well, and be smart about how you're spending the taxpayers' money. Now, I get that. I hear that often. You brought up cloud. Let's jump to the cloud. That was a third big priority of former CIO, specifically around document and records management, something called the e-library. Let's start there. How is the e-library? And then we can get into cloud more broadly.
We expect to deploy an improved e-library this fall. So in addition to moving the document and record storage to the cloud on the back end, which will accrue savings for us, we're going to improve the user interface, like, for example, the search, and that's for our constituents. To better retrieve the information, those are the e-library is like a really our system of record for all of the issuances and the opinions and recommendations that are coming out of FERC. So we want to work hard to improve the user experience for the public users.
What do you see as the big difference between today and in the fall when you launch the improved version? Is it just you said user interface, but is it a better search engine behind it? Is it a more, if you will, logical way to find documents and do searches? What will be the biggest difference that users will see?
Yes, predominantly the search. Instead of the special symbols to search, it'll be a different type of Dropbox experience. And so they're not typing in as much text. They can use a simpler Dropbox. Of course, it'll return the same data. And in theory, the cloud it'll offer, it'll return more quickly.
And now, is this part of this new IT services contract you mentioned earlier, or is this a separate contract that there's a vendor who runs eLibrary?
So we have a separate vendor who actually was working on the modernization for eLibrary, but there's part of, you know, when you're going through the design of it and moving to the cloud and the cloud services, but there's a deployment piece that is part of our new IT support services vendor. So we have two sets of contractors that are actually working on this effort with the federal leadership and the federal oversight.
And hopefully you have a terrific program manager to balance the two contractors. I've heard from others that can be very difficult when you have two separate kind of people who have a stake in the game, if you will.
Yes, it does require the coordination between the back and forth. Yeah, the more contractors you have, the more I think responsibility is on the federal leadership to manage those contracts successfully.
Well, I'll be interested to see what happens this fall, so something obviously to look out for. Let's talk cloud more broadly. One of the other big priorities at the time was a cloud mail provider, email, and then there's, I'm sure, cloud. You can't drop a pin without hearing someone talk about cloud, so talk a little bit about where you guys are heading with cloud, you know, whether it's today or in the next year or so.
As I mentioned, our cloud email is Microsoft Office 365. We have an on-premise version, but we're also looking at the 2013 cloud solution, for example, for some secure file transfers. So we're also looking at, you know, some of our other tools. Like right now, we're doing a business case analysis on the ServiceNow for our service desk operations. That's a great tool that I've deployed in my previous organization. And that's really great for IT service desk operations, asset management, and much more. So that's another cloud option that we're a cloud application. solution that we're looking at as well, rather than the on-premise solution that we have currently. So that's another example. So I would say those are probably in the short term are the two new cloud initiatives, besides, of course, the back end for email. But that's what I would say is on our agenda the next year.
And when you talk about service desk, just to be clear, you're talking about the help desk or more of the, when you talk about asset management, what do we have, who's running it, what version, that type of service?
Yeah, so for the help desk, yes, IT service desk is the help desk. So request for hardware, that's a service catalog, right? I want to request a piece of hardware like a BlackBerry, or I'd like to request a piece of software, or so that's a service request versus a system problem report. Hey, I'm having this issue. So that's our service desk operations. And we're very much a data-driven. We set service levels, and goals around how quickly and effectively we want to return these IT services back to staff. So we like to look at how many, requests we get per week, what kind of requests, what are obstacles to delivering, whether that's a hardware or a software or a request for a new IT investment. So that's what I mean by the IT service desk. And then our asset management, it's a federal responsibility to track assets, and certain assets you need to amortize. But this is a way for us to track and provide security, as well as the assets around the government-furnished equipment that's issued to staff. There's annual requirements, amortization requirements. So this is just a nice way to streamline that process, and so we know where those endpoints and where those assets are and who has possession of them.
So I'm going to try to make your life a little either harder or easier right now. So you talk about business case analysis for potentially ServiceNow, for a service desk that we were just talking about, potential RFP coming, or is this going to be maybe put onto a different contract that already exists? I know a lot of vendors listen to my show, so you can tell them to bug you or leave you alone right now. So here's your big chance, right?
Okay, so when we awarded the new contract, that was something they actually put in the replacement. So it's actually part of that IT support services contract that they would look at different tools. And so that's actually part of that project. So I don't think we'll be putting out a new solicitation. We already actually have.
Very good. That makes your phone ring a little bit less, or you get one less for your fewer email now from the vendors who listen to my program, who heard the business case analysis and got maybe perked up a little bit. Christina, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll jump into some of your new priorities. My guest is Christina Hanley, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission's Chief Information Officer. I'm your host, Jason Miller.
You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
My guest today is Christina Hanley, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission's Chief Information Officer. I'm your host, Jason Miller. Now, Christina, we spent the first part of the show now talking about some old priorities. You mixed in some new ones in there, like cloud or mobility, but a lot of these things were being done before you got to FERC. Well, now that you're at FERC, you've had a chance to kind of see what's going on and understand the environment a little bit. Let's talk about some of your new priorities. What are you hoping to get done over the next 6 or 9 months?
E-library. I mentioned we have some Office 365. I'd like to better exploit the advantages that offers. But we're gathering feedback from the public and other users to inform how we want to modernize or redesign FERC.gov, which is our public-facing website. So that's we're very excited about that. We already put the solicitation, and so we're now evaluating. We're refreshing the forms that are posted on our public site, and this is what our constituents use to submit their filings. So we're refreshing those. And we're making enhancements to other mission-critical systems, one of which is our internal tracking management and business plan systems. It's known as ATMS. So we have a lot of small and development enhancements that just make it very easy for users to plan their work and track their work, especially because some of these filings have statutory requirements that they be met within certain deadlines. Naturally, we continue to evolve our SaaS and STATA environments, and that supports our big data and analytics work, especially in the enforcement areas. And then we have a few little minor other opportunities and modern tools in this area as well. Now, that's a lot, mostly on our mission systems, our administrative systems, and those are just as equally important. Mission support is just as equally important to the mission, is we're better leveraging our collaboration tools to automate process and develop data-driven performance indicators and measures on our intranet. And that's a lot in the HR, the financial management, the IT space. And then we continue to upgrade our network and our infrastructure because our foundation needs some work.
All right, so there's a lot there. Let me start at the end instead of the beginning. When you talk about upgrading network and infrastructure, does cloud fit in there, or virtualization, or some other type of, kind of, if you will, the quote-unquote modern technology? How does that fit into your plans?
Right now, the infrastructure, even apart from the cloud initiative that we've discussed, obviously as we move things to the cloud, it puts less requirements on our infrastructure and our network. But we're moving buildings, actually. We're modernizing this building for an office move, so we're going to move into some swing space. So we still need to upgrade some of our network equipment. When you look at those assets and look at the age of those assets, they're due for a refresh. So some of that's the part that, no, we still need to maintain. Just because you're moving to the cloud, we still need to maintain our current on-premise network and infrastructure, our data center, and while we wean off and move more services to the cloud.
And when you talk about that, you're talking about the switchers, the routers, that type of back-end stuff to make sure that if you have a switcher that's 12 or 15 or 20 years old, it's time, and even if you move to the cloud, you still need that modernized switch,
exactly,
if you will.
Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly what we're doing.
It's interesting you guys are moving. I didn't realize that FERC is modernizing their building. What does that mean from you from an IT perspective, both in terms of the planning of the modernization of the building, but also this moving to swing space? You got to make sure everything's hooked up, the network works. And is that a huge lift for you as the CIO?
Not, and it's at my previous organization at my MCC, we moved entire buildings, and so we set up a great interagency agreement with DC government. They have, they're on Uncle Sam's list, and they made a huge investment. If you look at the DC government in their history, they made a huge investment in fiber optic cable underneath the city. I'm also a DC resident, and so we were actually able to leverage their services. And I would encourage all federal agencies to really look at DC government and the services that they offer. So when we needed to, run a new line from this building to the next building, it was acquisitions. We all collaborated to say, yes, let's use them. It's an interagency agreement as opposed to going on the GSA schedule and going through the acquisition. So both that, my previous organization and this organization, we found that they made great partners, provided lower cost alternatives. It was an interagency agreement. So I definitely, when I came here, said we should take advantage of that. We did.
That's great to know, because a lot of people probably don't realize the investment that, as you said, the DC government made in the fiber optics and how you can tap into it to ensure the network and everything goes smoothly. What is the timing of the move, just roughly?
So we're looking at starting this November. And so we have a number of 9 or 10 program offices. So one program offices will move out into the swing space. We'll renovate that particular floor, and then another one will move up into that new space while they work on the next layer of the building. So that's how we'll manage it.
Interesting. All right. Well, maybe when it's done, we'll come get a tour and see all the beautiful new space. It's always interesting to go from, the 19, if your building was built in the 70s or the 60s, to all of a sudden this modern technology. I've had some tours like that over the years. It's always just fascinating to see the differences. One of your other older priorities, one of your newer priorities that you talked about, but going back to the back office space, is really better collaboration tools, automated processes, but also the data piece. When you talk about whether it's human resources or financial management or IT or procurement, what are you hoping to do there? Is it a matter of bringing in better data analytics tools? And for instance, the dashboard is always a big thing, or is it more the efficiency and the effectiveness of those back-end systems?
I think it's really about, end users have more capability. So we have a large workforce. When I arrived here, they explained 30% of the workforce is eligible to retire, and they're starting now. And so when I looked at the way people work, very intelligent, highly educated workforce, a lot of it is just like emailing back and forth and litigating. I'm like, you have some great collaboration tools where, your transactional processes and some of your correspondence should be on a website where you can use the tool to automatically track some of these things for you and know if you finish the job. So it's just very simple changes in the way that the staff work throughout. Then I can say, you can use a website where someone can go online and request a service and you can answer it, and it can keep track of your workflow and use that to inform your decisions on how you plan your time, how you plan your resources, what kind of service level you're giving, what kind of quality services are you responding in a timely manner. So it's just some very simple collaboration tools to better achieve those knowledge management, those information management, and then some of those measures around processes and, management issues that need to be decided upon when you have some nice data to kind of look at how well your programs are performing.
And I imagine all this data gets pushed up to the chairman, to the executives at FERC to help make decisions about what to do if we need to hire more people or if our budget needs some help. That's the end result for all this data too.
That's the goal.
And what's happening currently? Like right now, do they get some of that data, but not maybe the full picture? And you're hoping to give them a fuller picture?
Yes, I would say that we use, so let me just say, okay, so, you know, CIO, we like to eat at our own restaurant, eat at our own restaurant. So when I can articulate, these are the number of IT service requests and websites enhancements and automations and requests that I get by each program office. So I can say these are the program offices that are most moving forward on how to better automate their processes, how to better implement records management, right? Because if I can move their data online and tag it as a records versus the paper copy. So it just helps, it helps me kind of bring a highlight to, well, these are the program offices that are willing to adapt and find a more productive ways of using, you know? And then this is where I can say, this is a workload that's returning great benefits to FERC, and so we need to continue. We need to continue to build on this and source it and support it. So yes, when I can show that to my management, or if I justify resources, I can say it's based on a growing program and a growing business need where the benefits and the return on investment is clear.
And I imagine that's the same thing when you talk about IT investments. You can say we need to invest in this mission area because of this reason. We're seeing an uptick in the number of filings, or where this system is struggling, has a backlog or whatever. That data also obviously will help you make those decisions as well.
Yes, it does. And actually, that's a nice segue into an IT investment review board that I set up right when I got here. Upon arrival, I quickly established an IT investment review board. And so that's comprised of our FERC's program office, executive directors, and a chairman's office. And the purpose of this board is to assess and decide on IT investments to ensure that they align with FERC's mission priorities and that we eliminate any unnecessary duplication. Clearly, demand for IT outweighs the supply of resources to meet that demand. So those agreed upon IT investment decisions inform our budget requests, our acquisitions, and our workforce planning. And so in addition to leading this board, my job is also to follow up on execution performance. And so we use this collaborative approach to all of our IT investments planning and governance.
It's interesting you bring up the IT review board. That leads me down the path to the Federal IT Acquisition Reform Act, FITARA. FERC, obviously not one of the quote-unquote cabinet-level agencies, so maybe you don't necessarily come under FITARA, but I know a lot of small agencies definitely follow the spirit and the intent of laws like that. So how is FITARA impacting you as the CIO?
You're correct. I'm one of the smaller agencies, so technically not a CFO Act agencies, but I'm very familiar with FITARA, and that was part of the principles behind FITARA are universal, and they're good principles. So it's with this IT Investment Review Board that we accomplish all the goals of FITARA. You know, it's a collaborative approach to IT planning and governance, and so when all the executives are in the room, and I'm in the room with my chief acquisition officer and my CFO, and we're making decisions upon these IT investments and have a clear visual representation of, okay, if we fund this is the benefit, and this is what the acquisition schedule is going to look like, and this is what the budget request is going to look like, and so these are the benefits we're going to achieve, and this is how we're going to you know, monitor our performance, and, you know, are there implications to the workforce? Can we execute? Do we have the right workforce? So just, it's really good planning and governance that we come together and we meet all the goals of FITARA. And so I never feel like I have to sign on the dotted line on an official, oh, I approve this exact budget and there's no issues. It's just a non-issue for us.
Related to this as well is the idea of shadow IT. Is that a big problem that you know of at FERC?
No, all the IT, because we don't have a shadow IT problem. I think there's some of our issues where we needed to clarify with one of our program offices that the workforce is becoming very tech savvy and they want the latest tools to do their job. And so when it came down to certain applications, which were high performing analytical applications, you know, my goal is if that's what an employee needs to do their job, whether it's, you know, for the enforcement part of our program, then we need to empower them and give them the right tools to do their job. Of course, I have to manage the budget, but let's err on the side of they you know, and make it non-issue. It's a commodity IT issue. Now, where my security, you know, hat comes in, or my security view of the world is, well, I can't give them unfettered access to the entire environment. So let's give them what they need to be successful, but also I also need to make sure that they're not, you know, either purchasing or downloading or giving them sysadmin privileges that allow them to put either FERC at risk or, you know, creep into that shadow IT space where I'm not aware, or my office isn't aware of some of the other IT tools. I have to limit that capability, of course, just because, you know, security alone.
All right, you bring up security. That's a great segue to our next question. But first, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to jump right into the security discussion. My guest is Christina Hanley, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission's Chief Information Officer, and I'm your host, Jason Miller.
You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
My guest today is Christina Hanley, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission's Chief Information Officer. I'm your host, Jason Miller. Now, Christina, before we break, we're talking a lot about your new priorities. And toward the end of the conversation, we were talking about FITARA and shadow IT. You brought up cybersecurity, and that is a topic every CIO is worried about. It probably, when you talk about what topic keeps you up at night, that's probably, if not one, that's 1A then. Agencies went through the cyber sprint last summer. We're a year later. Talk a little bit about how FERC is addressing cybersecurity and really what difference has the cyber sprint made for you guys within FERC?
We're performing an introspection of our security program and looking at areas where we can continue to improve and enhance our security posture. So this requires looking at our governance, for example, our policies, our standard operating procedures, to ensure that they're meeting the federal requirements. We're looking at our tool sets to determine if we are fully utilizing our capabilities or deficient in certain areas. And then we're looking at our staff and determining, have we trained them adequately to handle evolving threats that impact the federal space. The cyber sprint made a difference because it allowed us to obtain additional funding from our senior management for some of our needs, and that to support cybersecurity efforts to ensure our data and systems are adequately protected.
It's interesting. You brought up a couple pieces there I want to go back on, but I've heard several CIOs talk about the benefit of the cyber sprint was really a money issue, and not in a negative way, but you know, in the past where a CIO could say, hey, I need more money for this, and that they're competing with other priorities, all of a sudden cyber becomes a top priority. Do you see that, or have you seen that since November where your management, your chairman, and the other board members say to you, what about cybersecurity? Tell us about cybersecurity. What are we doing about cybersecurity? Do you hear that over and over again?
So since arriving here in November, we've had a few of those IT investment review boards, and much like all IT investments are vetted and debated, cyber is as well. So it's given equal opportunity, and it's weighed as equally important. And so we take that risk management perspective, right, or the opportunity cost. So I would say it's given equal weight, and that leadership is interested in it, given, you know, some of they take the security training, they know, they're well aware of. We do a good job at making them aware of what happens in the cyberspace. So yes, and so even in with limited resources and competing priorities, the FERC leadership has made decisions to invest and keep cyber funded.
And they kind of have to. I mean, when you look at everything that's happened, whether it's the Office of Personnel Management breach that happened last year, or any of the number of private sector breaches, you can think of Target, JP Morgan Chase, I could go on and on. If they don't invest, they're going to find themselves in a lot of trouble, which brings us back to the other part of your discussion around the introspection. Talk a little bit about how that's working and when do you hope to have some, if you will, results from that internal look.
It's an ongoing. We already completed an audit, and so we already have our lessons learned. And so I think it's an ongoing, continuous process improvement.
So you don't expect to have, for instance, a new plan coming out in the next, you know, 6 months or 8 months. This is going to be, we're going to look at a policy, and then we'll look at the next policy and the next standard operating procedure, and then decide, you know, update as we go along. That's more of that rolling look versus the we're going to come up with a new strategy look.
Correct. And we have very clear organizational goals for 17 and 18. Okay, update the policies and procedures. We would like to look at better security storage and information governance, funding some of our information governance. That's a new project for us. So, yeah, so that's introspection. This is very much an executable plan of how we're going to improve in each of those areas that I mentioned, the tools that we have, right, the policies, the procedures, any findings from an audit, which we did just close that out, so that went very well. And then as well as our workforce, do we have the right workforce who can actually, you know, monitor the network or do analysis on intrusion detection?
And the workforce piece, I want to pull on that string for a second, because that's one of the biggest areas that I hear from CIOs time and again. Can you hire the right people? Can you get them trained? Are you guys doing anything around the training and hiring of cyber experts?
We actually do. We have a nice training program, and I make sure to send, I call out across the organization, okay, you know, what is your job and what are the training conferences that you'd like to go to? What are the specific training courses? And very much I'm a believer in education. And so we do a pretty good job of making sure that they go to the right conferences and it's something that they're going to enjoy learning and bring back to the organization and help them do better at their jobs.
You also mentioned tools. When I hear tools, the first thing I think about is the Homeland Security Department's Continuous Diagnostics and Mitigation Program. Mm-hmm. I know they just made a big award to a contractor for something called, Continuous Monitoring as a Service, CMAS. Is that something that you're looking at yet in terms of CDM and the CMAS?
Yes, we're participating and working with them through that.
I want to shift gears. We talked a lot about current efforts, but there's a big push across government for innovation, digital services. You probably see that, for instance, with you mentioned the revamp of FERC.gov. I'm sure there's a lot of push to be innovative with your website and to be bringing more digital services. Talk a little bit about how you're promoting those two aspects of the modernization effort.
FERC is very open to leveraging information and communication technologies in its mission. At FERC, I think the best idea wins, and innovation takes place at every level throughout our process. So the CIO, we work very closely to assess ideas of both non-IT staff and IT staff where it makes sense and implement them. I also have found that through acquisitions and keeping apprised of what's taking place in industry, we can adopt innovation. You see a good idea and say, that would work at FERC. Let's acquire that. And then with respect to digital services, it's really our default. Like, we follow those principles of, okay, is it open and transparent? Is this improvement to the application or the system going to, have a user-focused design? Are we engaging with users during the creations? And is this simple and agile? So those are just some of the principles that we just follow as we implement any new enhancements and a lot of communications and end-user engagement, very collaborative approach. And then we just approach innovation. It's just that, best idea wins. I'm very much that's a great idea. Let's implement it. What can we do to implement it?
Part of that effort when you talk about digital services, when you talk about innovation, is the agile or DevOps approach. Is that something that FERC is starting to look at or is using?
Starting to move into that organization. So we are typically waterfall, and I think that was some of the expectation with the new contractor coming in to bring more agile. I'm coming from my last Millennium Challenge Corporation and then the Office of Financial Stability TARP program. When we stood up all the data, the business intelligence solutions, it was very agile. So I'm coming and I'm seeing we're starting to get more into the agile. And then, with agile, you learn it's a little bit of, with waterfall, you expect, okay, here's your requirements, and then you're going to spend this much money, and this is what you're going to exactly what you're going to get. Well, depending on how the sprints go with the agile, your cost estimation can become, for what those results will come with that particular sprint. You have to be a little bit more comfortable. You'll delivery, and I definitely like it, but you also have to, be a little bit more comfortable with what the impacts are to your budget and what you're going to get and for exactly how much money. But definitely we're trying to explore and be more agile.
Interesting. I think that's it's good that, one, you have the contractor you've just brought in to help you go there. But two, I think you're right that as you are looking at the investments and the review boards and all those pieces and parts, having that iterative approach seems to be what a lot of CIOs are heading down that path to do because of the funding is so difficult. Christina, unfortunately, we're almost out of time. This has been a fascinating conversation, but I always like to ask a getaway question to the CIO I'm talking to because I know a lot of vendors listen to my program. What's your advice for vendors to work with your office?
So we consider vendors as great partners, and we're always open to engaging with the vendor community. Our contracting as office is probably the best place to start, like on forthcoming acquisitions.
All right, good advice. And coming on my show is always a good way to begin the conversation. You can reach, I hope, a lot of vendors. So thank you for that. Unfortunately, though, we are out of time. I'd like to thank my guest today, Christina Hanley, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission's Chief Information Officer. Christina, thank you for joining us today.
No, thank you. The pleasure's all mine.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, Ask the CIO, Thursday mornings at 10:30, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.